A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, the Israelites came to the desert of Sinai and pitched camp. While Israel was encamped here in front of the mountain, Moses went up to the mountain of God, up the mountain to God. Then the Lord called to him and said, "Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, tell the Israelites, you have seen for yourselves how I treated the Egyptians and how I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you here to myself. Therefore, if you hearken to my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my special possession, dearer to me than all other people, though all the earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
Know that the Lord is God. He made us, his we are. His people, the flock he tends.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
The Lord is good. His kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, Christ, while we were still helpless, yet died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person. Though perhaps for a good person, one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath? Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? Not only that, but we also boast of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Yeah.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. At the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon from Cana, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus, "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Whatever cost you have received, without cost, you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord.
At the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. The words spoken by the Lord Jesus today is in itself a moment of revelation of the heart of God for all of his creation, but especially for humanity created to his image and likeness. We see how the first reading is presented to us with Moses and the people coming together. They're at the foot of the Mount of Sinai. Moses goes up and the Lord gives him instruction. Recapitulate, in essence, tell the people, remind them of all that I have done to make this time of gathering possible. And impressing upon them the need to be faithful, to be attentive to his commandment and to the covenant that has been established. Moses very much is the one who shepherds the people on God's behalf. And we know the ordeal he and the people were going through. And yet and still, God remains steadfast. His faithfulness throughout the times is constant. Albeit there were consequences, but even in the consequences, God had mercy on his people. Jesus speaks of being moved from the depths of his being. When he says he was moved, his heart was moved with pity. When he saw the crowds, and what was the condition? People were going here and there. They just seemed haggard by life, burdened. And it was for pretty much the same reason over the ages why God, speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, prophesied. He says, "I myself will come and shepherd my people." Because the leadership that God would raise up in every generation, in one way or another, would fall short. It would not be sufficient to do what God ultimately wanted to have happen. And so now God in Jesus is revealing this reality. And we can notice how the choice of the 12 in itself gives us insight as to who is worthy of an election, who is worthy of the call of God. And when you consider the array of those chosen, these first 12, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon from Cana, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. That in itself is a revelation. Anyone and everyone is eligible and in fact desired by God. In fact, if you wanted to know what was the primary attribute that we needed to have in order to draw God's attention, to have this type of an election established, it's that we were all sinners, and we all are sinners in a process of trying to do the will of God. And so you could not ask for a greater mix. Peter, James, John, Andrew, these were fishermen. It was like blue-collar workers. Then you had Matthew, who was a tax collector. He actually had the dubious distinction of taxing his own people in league with the occupying Romans. Simon from Cana, he was the zealot. He was the one who was the patriot, always pushing forth and embracing whatever would bring about nationalistic spirit and bringing the people back as a nation. And then you had Philip and Andrew, whose names were of Greek origin. So when you think about how Jesus has brought these men to himself, he recognizes the need. Obviously, there is an order of operations. First, go to the lost tribes of the house of Israel first. Then they would go into the Samaritan lands, and then beyond to the four corners of the earth. There is an order of operation, and this is to be as it is. But you know, the issue is here. The Jews who have been scattered, the diaspora, the great scattering of the people, they have been set into these Gentile lands and in these people. And so by virtue of the fact that you have men who come from diverse walks of life, who can empathize with being the quote-unquote outsider looking in, that in itself will capture the attention of not only the Jews who were dispersed, but even the Gentiles, who no doubt would have an attraction to the message. And who could blame them? What were they being charged to do? Go and make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. And we find ourselves here, mindful of the fact that just as Jesus, just as God invested his authority into his disciples to go and make this proclamation, to realize these works, it is the teaching that Jesus proclaims. How he teaches is what reveals to us the vision, the way to who or to what? To the Father. I and the Father are one. And this in itself, the works that he performs, confirms this teaching. And so it is for us, just as he told the disciples then, as you go, and we hear this in the Acts of the Apostles so beautifully, and that would be a wonderful thing to do, is to go and read through the Acts of the Apostles and see just how, almost to the letter, how the apostles, as they were given the charge and as they were clothed with the power from on high, the Holy Spirit, how almost in everything they said and did mirrored perfectly the very words of Jesus and his actions. As he told them, or as the gospel attests to, they were accompanied by signs and wonders. Their words and their deeds were accompanied by signs and wonders. And so each one of us here, we have been elected by God. We've been called by God. It's his initiative. And what is the basis? Again, St. Paul, you can't ask for a better presentation, but God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath? Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? The commission is before us. The mandate has been made. And probably the most significant part of today's word of the gospel is at the very end. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. What have you and I received without cost? Everything. Our lives, our ability for certain trades or skill sets to do certain things that only we can do uniquely. And he says, go first to the lost tribes of the house of Israel. Where must this mission first take root? In our own homes. There's sufficient work right there to evangelize. Then we move out broader to the community and then beyond. But this is a very real call. We've been vested with the power of love when we were baptized. And as we strive with the help of God to remain faithful, all of these extraordinary solemnities we've had in these early days of ordinary time, and even going back into the season of Easter, think about what we have learned on the way. And we are being told time and time again of what the Word of God charges through Moses. See to it that they adhere to my commandments. Jesus recapitulates that. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and know that I am with you always, even until the end of the age. We're in the last times. People always ask, Father, do you think it's the end times? Of course it's the end times. There's nothing else to be revealed. But of course, when they ask me that, they mean, do I think the world is going to end? It will end, but when is not for us to know. It hasn't been disclosed. But as we see, even now, more so than ever, probably in any age, there seems to be a greater resistance and just as a greater need for this gospel to be testified to and to be witnessed to. And it's for good reason, because everything is moving towards its climax. Everything is returning back to God. And as that happens, there will be this crescendo, and there will be a heightened sense of urgency and a greater sense of friction going on. But this is not to dissuade us. It's to embolden us to double down on our commitment, on our need to hear every word which comes forth from the mouth of God with the light of the Holy Spirit and those gifts that we've been given without charge. We are to communicate this love of God which has been given to us for salvation. Humility is the key. Let us not be distracted from where we're coming from. How often in my journey I've always said, gosh, I can't believe I was so stupid for all those years. How could I not see? Why didn't I know? Why didn't I recognize the call early on? I could have avoided so many foolish things that I encountered and experienced in my life. The Lord doesn't want us to be bogged down with that. Stop worrying about where you came from or where you were, what you weren't doing. Be attentive to where you're going and who has come toward you. This is not so much a matter of words. It is a matter of the heart. This is about an exchange. When we come before Jesus today, when we come to receive him in the sacrament, be it by virtue of a blessing or to receive tangibly the sacrament of our Lord's blessed, most sacred heart, veiled under the appearance of bread and wine, be resolved to say, Lord, I give you my heart. You see it, it's tattered, it's in a rough way. And he receives it, and in turn he gives us his sacred heart, which is big enough to love the entire world. This is our mission. And so we remember our fathers in a particular way, who are given the vocation of mirroring, of imaging the heart of the Father. As Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so now I love you. They have a high charge to have to lay down their lives for not only the biological family, but the family of the faithful. We thank God for the presentation of the gospel and for the witness of so many who've gone before us to show us that with God, all things are possible. God love you.